Welcome to Servants of the Lord Ministries. My name is Dr. Keith Jenkins. I'm the International Coordinator for Servants of the Lord Ministries. Before I start my message today, I want to share with you the commission of the ministry that God gave to Joseph Hedgecott, the founder of Servants of the Lord Ministries, many years ago. God said, "I have children in every nation, and you have brothers and sisters whose hearts are crying out to me. They saw me for ministry, blessings, and gifts. I've given them those things, and it's blessed them. But there's a part of their spirit that it never fulfilled that is reserved for intimate relationship with me. Now their hearts are crying out to me just for me. That is who I'm sending you to, because I don't want them to take the years it took you to get to me, because there was no one to show you how at the time. Servants of the Lord Ministries is a teaching and training ministry sent to the body of Christ to reach people with a heart after God. This message is for those who want to get to know Him and grow up in Him and be ready for His appearing. Today I'm speaking about unfeigned faith." Paul wrote in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 1 to 5. I'm reading 1 Timothy chapter 1, starting in verse 1. "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God, our Saviour and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope." Verse 2. "And to Timothy, my own son, in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace, from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord." Verse 3. "As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus, when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine." Verse 4. "Neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith." Verse 5. "Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned." The word unfeigned in Strong's is number 505. It comes from some other words which means assembled. That is sincere, or without hypocrisy. Faith works consistently when you are doing His perfect will by hearing and obeying His voice with the right motive and attitude. He has to be Lord of when and where you release your faith. Your faith at salvation is dormant in a flat pack, like something you got from a DIY store waiting to be assembled. Those with a confidence in the flesh, when they buy a kit that has to be assembled at home, do not read the instructions first. Paul followed instructions that he received from the Lord Jesus Christ when he came to Christ at salvation. Acts chapter 9, verses 5 and 6. Paul was resisting conviction and had to make a fresh start in fear and trembling. If you have a pure heart, seek a clear conscience in areas where you were listening to the flesh before. Those with unfeigned faith never blame anyone else for their inability to obey God perfectly under pressure. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 5 to 7. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I'm reading verse 5. "Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit." Verse 6. "Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord." Verse 7. "For we walk by faith, not by sight." For more information on how to walk by faith and not by sight, read chapter 11, How the Mature Communication System Works, in the book My Sheep and My Voice, revised edition by Joseph Hedgecott. There will be no difference between the way His people hear His voice now and in eternity, since we have all received the Holy Spirit. Start investing in your communication, especially while the devil is on the loose, or you will serve sin again. Mankind, as God's representative on earth, was created to hear, trust, and obey. Living by sight in these last days, you'll be miserable and anxious. Those walking by sight complain, ask unnecessary questions, and have doubts about God. Save yourselves by getting His daily instructions before the day gets busy or the devil gets access in your life. You were created to please God in all areas, even in what clothes to wear. Those that know God understand something is wrong by the Spirit when they do not get a response in areas they normally hear his voice. Be faithful in the small issues, and you'll be using your faith at the end of your life for greater things eventually, because his ways are higher than man's ways, as the heavens are above the earth. Isaiah 55:8-9. In the Amplified Bible, 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, "For we walk by faith. We regulate our lives and conduct ourselves by our conviction or belief respecting man's relationship to God and divine things, with trust and holy fervor. Thus we walk, not by sight or appearance." What is unseen is more real than what is seen. Everything eternal that God has prepared for mankind can only be received by faith. Regulate and conduct yourselves respecting man's relationship to God by being sensitive to conviction and acting with holy fervor. Grace has run out for everyone to live the way they were living before COVID-19. The world is barely functioning for the sake of those last few Gentiles who want to hear God and seek the kingdom of God in these last days. In the Living Bible, 1 Timothy 1:3-5 says, "As I said, when I left for Macedonia, please stay there in Ephesus and try to stop the men who are teaching such wrong doctrine. Put an end to their myths and fables and their idea of being saved by finding favor with an endless chain of angels leading up to God. Wild ideas that stir up questions and arguments instead of helping people accept God's plan of faith. What I'm eager for is that all the Christians there will be filled with love that comes from pure hearts, and that their minds will be clean and their faith strong." Jesus had the grace to help the people God prepared beforehand, directed by the Holy Spirit. Jesus never used his divine power to do any miracle, but had the power of the Holy Spirit on him consistently, following instructions. You can do the same. You might experience faith and power once in a complicated situation by claiming a promise in Jesus' name. However, Jesus was relying on the Holy Spirit to lead him into all truth consistently. Believers in Ephesus were using their minds to come to the truth and needed the doctrine of the Lordship of Christ. The fruit of unfeigned faith is love, expressing itself in every area of life. The faith in those seeking earthly gain and vain ministry is already hypocritical, misdirected, and presumptuous. Testimonies of pure faith edify and encourage others to keep his commandments under pressure. Jesus said to his disciples in John 14:15-21. This is John's Gospel, chapter 14, starting in verse 15. "If you love me, keep my commandments," verse 16. "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever," verse 17. "Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees him not, neither knows him. But ye know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you." Verse 18. "I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you." Verse 19. "Yet a little while, and the world sees me no more, but ye see me, because I live, and ye shall live also." Verse 20. "At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you." Verse 21. "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loves me, and he that loves me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." For more information on how to develop a love relationship with God through seeking his commandments, please read the book How Love Grows by Joseph Hedgecock. His commandments in complicated situations are an invitation to love God back personally. perfectly, without doing any dead works. Jesus' commands are not hypocritical, so eagerly obey them. It is a privilege to love perfectly in this way, so do not forsake them, and you will get enough love in return. Those with unfeigned faith establish clear communication with God rapidly through his commands. Obedience to the Holy Spirit always leads to maturity, no matter how small or insignificant the issue is. Anything else is hypocritical. What are you waiting for? You'll be given grace and truth to obey perfectly. He will not try us beyond our ability to obey. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13. You should have experienced his love by humbling yourself at salvation and falling in love with God. The first person to love is God by making no excuses for sin. Where you have been convicted, Christ manifesting himself to you by the Spirit as the pressure increases is a fruit of making no excuses. God loves you, and Jesus has paid the price for you to remove the accesses of the devil and live in the kingdom of heaven through repentance. Jesus gave this teaching in Luke chapter 6, verses 31 to 35. This is in Luke's Gospel, chapter 6. I'm reading verse 31. And as you would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. Verse 32. For if you love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. Verse 33. And if you do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also even the same. Verse 34. And if you lend to them of whom you hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. Verse 35. But love ye your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the Highest. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Your own generated love is selfish, but with God's commands, you can love even your enemies perfectly. Those connected to God have enough love to give when others are selfish. You'll be able to love your spouse and your children. But as a disciple, Jesus must remain your first love, as you're not worthy of him otherwise. Matthew 10, verse 37. You will only be able to do for your neighbor what you want him or her to do for you, if you are dead to sin and alive to God. If you are getting easily offended in these last days when people do not say thank you, repent. Be thankful to God for the good and the evil, as this is part of your training and calling to be children of the Most High. Peter wrote in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 to 7. I'm reading 1 Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Verse 4. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fades not away, reserved in heaven for you. Verse 5. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in this last time. Verse 6, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. Verse 7, that the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honour and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. In the book Wake Up Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations for Spiritual Maturity, in the introduction on page 6, Joseph Edgecott writes, allow the Holy Spirit to examine your faith to find out if it is contaminated or misdirected in any way. The devil is an expert at influencing God's children to misdirect their faith into ways that seem right. Once he has convinced you to release your faith into a lie, it is easier for him to hinder you from finding the truth or believing it when you do find it. When he succeeds in this endeavor, he has taken you captive. 2 Timothy 2, 26, first part. When you hear a truth, you cannot believe it until you first quit believing the lie you already believe to be the truth. Once you recognize the lie and choose to stop believing it, your faith returns to you and you can release it into the truth. This is how you rescue yourself from the snares of the devil. Christian hope comes from establishing a strong relationship with the Holy Spirit now, before the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Trials and difficulties expose hypocritical faith so you can see what sort it is. If your faith is working right, he will also be your hope, making a way of escape every time. In the Amplified Bible Classic Edition, 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 2 says to Timothy, "My true son in the faith, grace, spiritual blessing and favor, mercy and heart peace be yours from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord." Timothy was a true son in the faith and did not need more faith. However, Paul reminded him of three essential blessings from the Father and Jesus at salvation needed to grow up spiritually. Number one, grace. With grace, you can do anything. Grace is the unmerited favor of God that you do not deserve. God's grace is given to the humble and not too high-minded to acknowledge God about the small things. In areas where you refuse to ask God and have a confidence in the flesh, you are being a hypocrite. Number two, mercy. Mercy is not getting the punishment you do deserve. Sin is not imputed to those working out their salvation in fear and trembling under the new covenant. They do not reap the consequences of sins committed, so they have more time to come to repentance in areas where they have been convicted. Use a notebook to keep a list of sins, as God also keeps records. Matthew 10, verse 30. Number three, peace. You need God's peace passing through many trials and difficulties to keep your heart and mind consistently still. This is so you can hear, trust, and obey the Spirit and get his instructions. Develop the peace of God following the instructions in Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 to 9. So you can be faithful right up to the end of your life as the pressure increases. God's grace, mercy, and peace should be increasing in your own life through conviction and repentance. You will experience his love and goodness in all areas through repentance. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 50. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I'm reading verse 50. "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither does corruption inherit incorruption." Faith that is still hypocritical at the end of your life cannot inherit an incorruptible inheritance. If you're more concerned about the size of your pension than you are about the quality of your faith at the end of your life, then your priorities are wrong. Peter also wrote in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 19 to 25. This is 1 Peter chapter 1. I'm reading verse 19. "But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." Verse 20. "Who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you." Verse 21. "Who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God." Verse 22. "Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently." Verse 23. "Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abides forever." Verse 24. "For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withers, and the flower thereof falls away. Verse 25, but the word of the Lord endures forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Jesus emptied himself of his divine nature, died and rose again as the Lamb of God, without any blemishes, so your faith and hope might be in God. Those taking up their cross daily get extra grace to hear God perfectly in complicated situations. What are you waiting for? Jesus is the best example of unfeigned faith by dying on the cross for the sins of the whole world. The Father gave Jesus the mental and physical strength. He had to be without spot and blemish, not react or answer back, just to die on the cross. In his humanity, Jesus is now the first fruit of many brethren born again with unfeigned faith that rely on conviction and acknowledge God consistently in all their ways. The pure in heart remove the difficulties, loving true brothers and sisters in the church through repentance. We read in Acts chapter 2, verse 37. This is Acts chapter 2 and verse 37. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? The word pricked in Strong's is number 2660. It comes from some other words which means to pierce thoroughly. That is, figuratively, to agitate violently, sting to the quick. The Jews were able to make a fresh start by responding to conviction on the day of Pentecost through Peter. With pure faith now, they were given a lively hope through the resurrection of Christ. They acknowledged killing their own Messiah, believing lies for the sake of their flesh, and doing dead religious works instead. Facing many trials and difficulties, hypocritical faith is like grass. Churches too become clubs and societies without faith expressing itself through love in complicated situations. Paul wrote this in Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 to 10. This is in the book of Galatians chapter 6, and reading verse 7. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Verse 8, for he that sows to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Verse 9, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Verse 10, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. When you see any bad fruit appearing, change your sowing before it's too late. God is not hypocritical. He can make a few exceptions, but God does not want you to deceive yourself. Faith is more than positive thinking. It is perfect thinking directed by God in complicated situations. By sowing to the Spirit like a little child, you will reap everlasting life. The flesh is corrupt, so do not interpret his commands and instructions with your mind, or you become weary in well-doing. Those with hypocritical faith claim promises they believe they need in a complicated situation and confess them repeatedly to get them working. Instead, ask God more questions and rely on the Holy Spirit to lead you into all truth. He will bear witness in your spirit, so you do not release your faith into another way that seems right. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 8, verses 1 and 2. This is in the book of Romans chapter 8. I'm reading verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation for them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Set yourself free from the law of sin and death by abiding in Christ. Stop using your mind to consult your own will, or you'll come out of Christ, get in the flesh, believe lies, and feel like a failure. Those in the flesh who have hardened their hearts to conviction and put up with condemnation have an evil heart of unbelief. Hebrews 3 and verse 13. To come to the truth, using your mind is rebellious, as Jesus paid the price for all those following Christ to come to the truth by the Spirit. John 16 and verse 13. Solomon wrote in Proverbs chapter 3 verses 1 and 2. This is in the book of Proverbs chapter 3. I'm reading verse 1. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. Verse 2. For length of days and long life and peace they shall add to thee. There are benefits of keeping commandments and not forgetting what you have learned through conviction. Meditate on what God has said to you day and night. Psalm 1 and verse 2. Sin is not imputed to those who work out their salvation in fear and trembling. You will enjoy long life and enjoy every day as God intended it to be. Listen to your flesh, and you will depart from sound teaching. If you wake up spiritually in time, humble yourself and seek his righteousness. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 34. Make a fresh start by doing the commands that he brings back to your mind immediately that you have forgotten, and believe by faith that you can keep them even as the pressure increases. You only stop believing because you listen to your flesh more than God. If you can keep one commandment, then why not another? Solomon continues in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 3 and 4. This is Proverbs chapter 3. I'm reading verse 3. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them around thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. Verse 4. So shalt thou find favour and good understanding in the sight of God and man. The word mercy in Strong's is number 2617. It comes from another word meaning kindness by implication towards God, piety, rarely reproof, or subjectively beauty, favour, good deed, that is godliness or goodness, kindness, loving kindness, merciful kindness, mercy, pity, or reproach of any wicked thing. For ignoring or resisting conviction and correction, you do not get any grace or mercy. Those who love mercy and truth wear them around their neck like diamonds. They're yoked to Christ because he is their righteousness. Matthew 11, 28 to 30. They are not blind spiritually, barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 1 and verse 7. Their hearts have become like a writing pad for the words of Christ that are dwelling in them richly and find favor with God and man. Colossians 3:16. Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 5 verses 3 to 9. This is Matthew's gospel, chapter 5. I'm reading verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Verse 4. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Verse 5. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Verse 6. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Verse 7. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Verse 8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Verse 9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Time is running out for all those with a confidence in the flesh, questioning God and relying on a private interpretation of the written word. You need to be poor in spirit and rely on conviction and correction to come to the truth. You'll be comforted as God is no respecter of persons. Being merciful, you will get mercy. In the Amplified Bible Classic Edition, Proverbs 3:3 says, let not mercy and kindness, shutting out all hatred and selfishness and truth, shutting out all deliberate hypocrisy or falsehood, forsake you and bind them around your neck, write them upon the table of your heart. Sincere faith is like learning to drive a car. God is the driving instructor, telling us when and where to turn left or right and how to navigate all junctions of life, because he can see clearly. Spontaneous acts of kindness will shut out selfishness in the same way that your response to truth and conviction will shut out deliberate hypocrisy and falsehood. Stop yourself becoming a hypocrite by embracing correction regularly. His peace and joy is evidence of righteousness through repentance when circumstances are always changing in this world. Romans 14 and verse 17. Paul wrote in 2 Timothy chapter 1 verses 5. I'm reading to verse 13. This is 2 Timothy chapter 1 starting in verse 5. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded that's in thee also. Verse 6. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that you stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. Verse 7. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Verse 8. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Verse 9. Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Verse 10. But is now made manifest by the appearing of our Saviour, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Verse 11. Whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and teacher of the Gentiles. Verse 12. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Verse 13. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. The unfeigned faith in Timothy had been corrupted through a fear of suffering. During COVID-19, the devil used carnal believers listening to conspiracy theories to spread fear on social media channels, making their own lips unclean. Your faith should be motivated through love, not a fear of suffering, failure, shame, or correction. God is not responsible for anyone having a spirit of fear. It comes from having one foot in this world, a doctrine that God hates. Revelation 2, 6 and Revelation 2, verse 15. Perfected love through obeying his commandments under pressure casts out all fear. 1 John 4, verse 18. Those that love anything in this world do not experience his love. 1 John 2 and verse 15. Those using the shield of faith are asking God consistently to prevent lies, getting a foothold. Ephesians 6 and verse 16. He makes a way for the humble where there seems to be no way. Those with a holy calling receive a spirit of power, a spirit of love, and a sound mind to serve God in complicated situations with pure faith. In the Amplified Bible Classic Edition, 1 Timothy 1 and verse 5 says, whereas the object and purpose of our instruction and charge is love, which springs from a pure heart and a good, clear conscience and sincere, unfeigned faith. If you already have everything planned out yourself, do not be surprised if his instructions make something that looks simple before impossible or complicated to the flesh. If you are spiritual, You will rejoice because by following his instructions and commands, you will experience his love and grace, and even more of his ways too. Paul also obtained a clear conscience with God in areas where he was ignorantly sinning before. God knows the cure for sin and the flesh, so just follow his instructions under pressure. James wrote in James chapter 3, verses 13, I'm reading to verse 18. This is James chapter 3, starting in verse 13. Who is the wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. Verse 14. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not, and lie not against the truth. Verse 15. This wisdom descends not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. Verse 16. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. Verse 17. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure and then peaceable, gentle and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Verse 18. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Our physical bodies are fearfully and wonderfully made by God. Psalm 139, verse 14. So that no one can claim to fully understand them. If this is true, then how can anyone understand the spiritual body that we cannot see? You will need peace in these last days where others are striving so that you can hear God clearly. Man's wisdom is devilish and a trap because it makes even sinners comfortable. God is not corrupt but has let knowledge increase so everyone has a chance to repent deeply and get meekness of wisdom before time runs out. Daniel 12 and verse 4. With the knowledge of God, you will stop sinning. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 34. The faith in those seeking knowledge and the ability to hear God in ministry depart from the truth in other areas because their faith is hypocritical. Matthew 7, 22 and 23. Those that know God is love have made him Lord in all areas because they have experienced his goodness personally and of the fruit of repentance. Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 to 21. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7. I'm reading verse 13. Enter in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in that way. Verse 14. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leads unto life, and few there be that find it. Verse 15. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Verse 16. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Verse 17. Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. Verse 18. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Verse 19. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Verse 20. Wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them. Verse 21. Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father which is in heaven. The word corrupt in Strong's is number 4550. It comes another word meaning rotten. That is worthless, literally or morally, bad or corrupt. Those living on the narrow way are changing with grace and truth. They have developed a taste for conviction and correction through his grace and mercy. By denying themselves consistently and taking up their cross daily, they have discovered what is corrupt and rotten in their own lives. The pressure on the narrow way is not designed to overload you, but to cause sin to manifest. Sin manifesting is a chance to remove something critical, not just life-threatening, but the cause of huge eternal losses as well. He will make sure that you know the full extent of your sin and any other areas it is affecting as you repent. God's education system is the best and works well in those who do not need to understand everything with their minds. You are running out of grace if thorns and thistles are appearing in your life after COVID-19. Bitterness and frustration appearing in complicated situations where you need to make a fresh start and get on the narrow way. The entrance to the narrow way starts with the bad fruit in those who are still not living by faith. Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. This is 2 Timothy chapter 2 and reading verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. In the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, volume 2, Growing Up Spiritually, in chapter 1, Who Are You? On pages 15 to 16, Joseph Hedgecott writes, when you are wise and obey what God says, godly fruit begins to manifest. Changes first take place in your attitude towards the Lord. The way you think changes. This is part of the process of allowing the Holy Spirit to do His work in you. He changes what you believe, think, and how you act to agree with the Word of God. Typically, those who function from the natural realm begin with a conclusion they believe is the truth. If they find clear scriptures that contradict their belief, their reasoning rejects them. They adjust what the Word of God says to agree with what they have already chosen to believe. This deception is rampant in the church today. Preconceived notions of what is true will deceive you every time. It is the Holy Spirit's job to tell you the truth. You are required to study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15. Your natural mind cannot and never will be able to rightly divide the truth. Truth is revealed and confirmed by the Spirit of God. Everything you believe should be confirmed by the Spirit before you release your faith into it. Remember, what you think you know hinders you from knowing what God wants you to know. Study the word of truth through conviction, not the written word with your mind. Use a notebook to record a list of sins, and through deep repentance you will grow rapidly. Those with a confidence in the flesh do not get God's abounding grace because they resist conviction. When convicted, those seeking vainglory, calling Jesus Lord based on ministry achievements, are easily offended. They start defending lies that need to be removed to get on the narrow way. They only accept teaching that agrees with what they already believe and do not know how to come to the truth with the witness of the Spirit because they still have a confidence in the flesh. Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 3, verses 9 to 11. This is Philippians chapter 3. I'm reading verse 9. And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Verse 11, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. God wants you to pass your test. Make the right decisions consistently in complicated situations. Through conviction, you will experience His goodness right up to the end of your life. Those seeking blessings are on a way that seems right. Sin must be removed first, as this brings curses. Those not using the grace and truth provided in Christ at the end when Jesus appears are lazy and will be left behind. Use the gift of eternal life that you receive by grace through faith to get to the truth by the Spirit. Paul knew God, but also wanted to know him in the fellowship of his sufferings. Those without spot and wrinkle, ready for his appearing, have a tight grip on eternal life now and do not use their minds to make decisions in these last days. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 12. Peter wrote in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 14 to 18. This is 2 Peter chapter 3. I'm reading verse 14. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. Verse 15. And account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. Verse 16. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable wrestle, as they do also the other scriptures unto their own destruction. Verse 17. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before, beware, lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. Verse 18. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. At salvation, by confessing your sin and humbling yourself, you get the peace of God. The goal is to be found in Christ, at rest, in perfect peace, without ever being anxious at the end of your life. You should not be wrestling in your mind with sound teaching that requires you to deny yourself consistently and take up your cross daily. The wicked do what is convenient for their flesh when the pressure increases, and they remain ignorant. You will not be moved easily out of Christ if you steadfastly take thoughts captive and test everything with the rightly divided word of truth. Christ in his humanity was getting his instructions from the Father and growing in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord every day. Jesus is coming again soon. For those without spot and wrinkle who have followed his example, the wise ask God about what they should do under pressure and follow instructions, even if it doesn't seem relevant to their situation. In the Living Bible, Matthew 7, 19 to 21 says, so the trees having the inedible fruit are chopped down and thrown on the fire. Yes, the way to identify a tree or a person is by the kind of fruit produced. Not all who sound religious are really godly people. They may refer to me as Lord, but still won't get to heaven. For the decisive question is whether they obey my Father in heaven. You can be sincere in the natural and be sincerely wrong at the same time. Those that keep repenting of the same bad fruit over and over again still have a confidence in the flesh. They are not coming to the truth, but believe lies for the sake of their flesh in areas where they need deep repentance. Those who know the devil uses ways that seem right get on the narrow way, endure correction, and are learning to hear, trust, and obey as the challenges increase gradually. I highly recommend you use a notebook and keep records of the sins as they appear. He loves you. If your sins are disappearing, then you are following his instructions and coming to repentance with the help of the Holy Spirit. If you want a copy of these notes, please write and answer the following questions and send your answers to me. Number one, what does the word unfeigned mean, and how can your faith be redirected in God? Number two, what three things did Timothy need so his faith in God remained pure through a period of pressure? Number three, have you ever made an effort to get on the narrow way? And if so, what stopped you from doing so each time? If you want to hear and get to know and follow Jesus, then I can recommend this book, My Sheep Hear My Voice by Joseph Hedgecock. If you want to make a fresh start, make him Lord and live in the light, then I can recommend the book, Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations for Spiritual Maturity by Joseph Hitchcock. If you really want to submit to the Spirit by regular repentance, then I can recommend the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 2, Growing Up Spiritually by Joseph Hitchcock. You need to make sure that you get on the narrow path. The broad road that leads to destruction looks good and signposted heaven this way. Many well-meaning good people attending church are on this road. I believe this book will help you. The Guilted Prison Revised Edition by Joseph Hitchcock. Today I've been sharing a message on unfeigned faith. Those with pure faith are still following Christ today. He is the way, the truth, and the tree of life for every child of God who believes. John 14 and verse 6. Pride began in the devil, and it's also in all those making decisions based on the knowledge of good and evil today. The wicked rely on the internet and what they see in this world, but remain ignorant because they refuse to believe God's ways are higher and better than man's ways. You may be calling Jesus Lord now, but your faith has become hypocritical through a fear of suffering, or the narrow way, or something else during COVID-19 possibly. Admit that you have been listening to conspiracy theories and politics when you should be looking up and repenting and working out your salvation in fear and trembling. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I commit to you those people who have been listening to this message. You've been speaking to their hearts many things. And I ask that you give them grace and truth more as they repent and what they need to finish the race that God, that you have set before them. And that this will be to your praise and glory in Jesus' precious name. You can find a summary of the scriptures used in today's message below the video, either written out or via a link to a website. Our contact details will follow at the end of this message. God bless you and thank you for listening.